If we would turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 17, the book of Revelation, chapter 17. Chapter 17 and 18 is kind of a capsule that gives you the picture of the world of all time and what the plan has been, God's plan, Satan's plan, the world's plan, religion plan. And it gives you some details that you can't find anywhere else. We have studied a great deal, but prayerfully today, if you hadn't caught yet the theme of where the world has been and where the world is going, hopefully chapter 17 and 18 will bring that into fruition for you. It is so clear what the issues are. And why things are the way they are, and what is liked and what is disliked, what is accepted and what is not accepted, even in our politically correct world of tolerance and acceptance. It is so amazingly clear. Now, to me, amen? To me, it is so amazingly clear. And we've been setting this up to preach this section for almost 11 years. That was my plan. And to come through Genesis, and then the book of Acts, and then Judges and Joshua, and then Revelation. This has been, it's supposed to have been a 10-year plan of preaching. But we almost made it. 11, maybe 12, by the time we finished the book of Revelation. But it has been so clear to me what the issues are, and we're going to pray that God move me out of the way a little today and to see if we can capture that which has been an 11-year preaching plan. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the most amazing truth that you have laid out through the history of man. And Lord, oftentimes we as man, male and female, you made man, have refused to see what your ultimate plan is. And Lord, the church itself has not seen at all what your truth is about your plan and the rebellion that came against your plan. Before the foundations of the earth was ever laid, this plan was laid out by you. Before Adam and Eve, our parents, took breath, this plan was laid out by you. The names that was written in the book of life, the Lamb's Book of Life, was written before the foundations of the earth. And those names that did not make it in was not written in and was blotted out before the foundations of the earth. Lord, your wisdom and plan, your greatness and your majesty is before us. In order for that to come through, Lord, you must keep me out of the way, that we may see you in your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name. We all say, amen. Babylon the Great, you want to put that up? Babylon the Great has fallen. Now, what happens is we're going to see, hopefully in a small way, this is so misunderstood. Babylon the Great has been destroyed. It is so significant to see that Babylon being destroyed is not something that is going to come up in the tribulation period. It's going to end in the tribulation period. Babylon has existed since the fall of man, since Adam and Eve fell. The great harlot that rolled upon the beast, the mystery of Babylon that we're going to talk about today, has existed since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden and they was kicked out. This is not a new plan. This has been God's way of dealing with sin. Thanks, bro. Since the beginning of time, and he said, I have waited to deal with this issue and this problem. And as we found out in Genesis, the beginning, we realized that all problems, all issues, all efforts, all disgrace, all that which is against God and his plan started in Genesis. The reason why we have a hard time at times taking a bolt off. Everything works good except that one bolt. We're putting something together and everything goes good except that one part. Why there is weeds in our garden. Why there is zits. Bad breath. Started in the garden with the great harlot and the great whore scripture being the mystery of Babylon. Misconcepts of what God wants. It's the great harlot that started at the fall of man. The world system that we deal with and how we have to deal with it is the beginning of the great Babylon. And when we try to eliminate it and put it in a box and try to make it a city or a part of nature or a section of history, you miss the whole thing of what God has said is the plan and why he has to rebel and why there is political correctness and why there are false religions and why the world is the way it is and why it must end the way it will end. It has been the plan of Almighty God all this time. And if we don't see it as believers, we're going to get caught up in the falsehoods that is in our world today. And we're going to get caught up in what we think will bring us happiness. And we're going to get out of marriages. And we're going to get out of contracts. And we're going to get out of our word. Because we think that that which is a false world system, think it is the word of God, ends up making us miserable in all our ways. Hopefully, you will be able to see in a small way what God has revealed to me in years of study and what makes me, to many, as stubborn as I am. Amen? Amen? And why I stand on what I stand and why I live what I live and why I am what I am and what I will be what I will be. Because I think God has allowed me to see what the whole plan is. Everything that happens to you and I is preparing us for the day we see him face to face. That in that life isn't worth anything else. Anything that comes my way simply makes me more ready to see him face to face and hear well done, good and faithful servant. And everything that happens to every non-believer is simply a way of letting you know you're going to face him in judgment. Nothing else matters. We can get caught up in the riches. We can get caught up in what we have or don't have. We can get caught up in where we live or don't live. We can get caught up in the way the weather is or the weather is not. We can get caught up in 1,000,000,000 things that has no significance whatsoever to your final destiny. But to be able to comprehend and to see the whole plan and to see it culminate in God's perfect timing at the end of the tribulation period is a true blessing for you and I. For when you understand this, nothing can bother you. You are comatose to life's issues. And I am, really, in many ways. Nothing bothers me on this earth. Very little thing getting me upset. Very few things. And since I think I've reached this, God has to bring things in my life to get me off my comfort zone. Amen. And when I know that, why should it bother me? When I know that the Word of God says it's for my best.
That's right.
And it's going to mold me to be more like Him. Amen.
Amen.
That is the Word of God. And that is what we're trying to see. And that is what we're trying to comprehend. That is what I want you to hold on to. That is what I want you to believe. And that is what I want you to understand. Through the history of man, we are but a vapor that is being prepared for eternity. Either with Him in glory or totally condemned in hell for eternity. That, my friend, is the picture. Okay? Did we flow with it? Hey, no, don't ever ask me to do that again either. Amen. So I hope you take that or it's eternally gone. Now, you guys had here, got here at the first service, so ain't no telling what'll come out the second service. Amen. Just a moment of inspiration that came through. Chapter 17. I'm going to read the whole thing. May take us several weeks. Get through 17 and 18. But I'm going to see if we can get the whole picture 17, and then we'll read the whole chapter 18 when we get to it. And then we're going to break it down, because that's how the Bible does it. Gives us an overview. Then it breaks down the overview to specifics and details. Amen?
Amen?
Chapter 17. And there came out of the seven angel, and there came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, and talked with me, saying unto me, come here. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great harlot that sits upon many waters. Now, we've already dealt chapter 16 and went to section 19 to give you, trying to break this overview down a little bit. Now, we're going to come back, and right in the middle of the tribulation period, he's going to throw 17 and 18 in between 16 and 19 to bring in some points of why he's going to do 19, 20, 21, and 22. In the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ himself being revealed here. With whom the kings of the earth has committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Aren't you glad you got a pastor to break this stuff down?
Right.
That'll do study for you and still be just as confused as you are. And the woman was arrayed in purple, scarlet color, bedecked. I like that King James word. She was bedecked. She wasn't just decked in it. She was bedecked. With gold and precious stones, pearl, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great wonder. Oh, if man would just remove himself from the Word of God and in his intelligence and his theology, this wouldn't be so confusing to any of us. And God has chose me because I'm too dumb to put any intelligence in it. Praise be to God. Amen. Verse 7, and the angel said unto me, why did you wonder? Now, he's not wondering for the way most people explain this. Why are you wondering? I would tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns, which is not mentioned in this scripture, the little horn that's going to come out of the 7 heads and the 10 horns, which you had to go back to Daniel and you had to go to 2 Thessalonians to understand the little horn, which is the second part of the unholy trinity, which is the beast himself, the Antichrist. Aren't you glad you got someone that can help you understand this? The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names was not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is and not and yet is. That's a whole bunch of confusion stuff there. Somebody wasn't feeling too good the night they was writing this. Or they understood it so well, but they had it to write it in a way that the people of his day could accept it. Just a thought. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. And there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he come, he must continue a short space. The boy must have been drinking. And the beast that was and is not, even he is, the 8. Where did the 8 come from? I thought it was 7. Then I thought it was 10. Now they throw 8 at me. But no, the 8 is of the 7. And he goes into perdition. No wonder they have commentaries to help us get more confused. Amen. Woo. Verse 12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings who have received no kingdoms yet. Wow. But receive power as kings, even though they don't have a kingdom yet. 1 hour with the beast. These have 1 mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now, all that, the first 13 verses, all those people, whoever they are, gonna make war. Verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords, and he is the King of kings. And they that are with him are called and are chosen and are faithful. And he said unto me, the angel, evidently, the waters which thou saw where the harlot sits, verse 1, are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. So if you really want to know how chapter 17 goes, it really goes like this. Verse 1 through 6, then verse 15. Then verse 7 through 13, then 14, then verse 16, see. Are we rolling? And I haven't even started preaching yet, I'm just reading. Verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the harlot, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat of her flesh, and will burn her with fire. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdoms unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman whom thou saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. This is good stuff. And it is clear to me what is going on when we talk about he that was, is not, but will be. Sound like a Greek philosopher to me, amen. Sound like something that comes from Shakespeare. You who be, but is not, but will be. To be or not to be. So I got to keep you guys from being in suspense, and let's start breaking this down. Amen? We will go until we run out of time. How about that? And we'll find a good place to break. Verse 1. And there came one, let's read 1 through 6. And there came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great harlot that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and bedecked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination, filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great wonder. Verse 15, and he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sits, are people, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Now who is this woman? Who is this great harlot? Many people tried to say it's a Catholic church. But if we understand and break it down, it cannot be the Catholic Church alone. Because this great harlot existed before the Catholic Church did. I think the Catholic Church is a part of it, just like I think the Baptist is a part of it, just like I think the Methodist is a part of it, just like I think every religion, from the charismatic on down, is a part of it. Just like Bible churches can be a part of it. But to try to eliminate all others that say it is one is not being biblically true. Amen?
Amen.
So what is this harlot, this woman, verses 1 through 6 and verse 15? Who can it be that it has existed since the beginning of time and the fall of man? Folks, let me give you a secret. Little two words will explain who the woman is. False religions. Listen to me. Any religion that is contrary to Orthodox Christianity is a part of the great harlot. Now, you know, we got a lot of people that run around and say something like this. There are several ways to God. The road to God is like a bicycle spoke. You have the realm of religion outside, and in the center, you have the hub, which is Jesus Christ. And there are different spokes that all lead to God. So the one thing wrong with that philosophy, and that is, it's wrong. God says there is no such a thing as any other religion coming to me. I don't know where you are, I don't know what you believe, but if you believe that there's more than one truth in religion, you are duped. And God is not going to put up with any other religion that don't line up with Christ. Galatians says it, Paul, the best way I can understand it, even in the New Testament, he says, if anyone teach any other gospel other than the revelation himself, may they be accursed. Galatians 1 verse 8, then he says, and just in case you think that's strong and I may have mistaken, I'm going to say it again in the next verse. If you teach any other truth other than Jesus Christ, you will be accursed.
I don't like that kind of philosophy, Pastor. You are narrow-minded.
So is God. And I'm in good company. I can't hear you. Now, hold on. See, it was all right until Jesus Christ came up and said, I am the only way.
That's right.
Uh-huh. That threw some real tricks in the machinery.
That's right.
Now, to say I'm one way, that's one thing. To say I am the only way. And the reason why Jesus Christ had to say it is because religion had got so diluted that no one believed him. He had to come back on the earth to reiterate. What's that big word? Reiterate. You know what I mean? Yeah. God said, you know false religion has got bad when God himself had to come to the earth to die to prove what he said in the very beginning was right. False religion is the great harlot, the mystery of Babylon. It's two world systems are going on. We're going to have to deal with. Absolutely amazing. God says that we think that the world has been the greatest problem with God's plan. No, it has been Satan that has come up with a substitute for religion called false religion that gives us most of our promise, kill most believers. False religion is always against Christianity. That's why when God says, this is my plan, the only plan, the only way, the world comes up with all other ways, and then the only one that's discriminated against is the only true way. Christians is the only people in the world today it's okay to call bigots.
That's right. That's right.
It's okay to discriminate against orthodoxy when it comes to Christianity. But try to say something against someone that's gay. Try to say something against someone that's black and wrong. You're wrong. I don't care what color you are, but you just got black around us now to protect us from being wrong. Someone white wrong. Oh, man, you can't say that now because now it's reverse discrimination when you're coming after white people. Can't say Native American. You can't say, you can't say Indian. You can't. I mean, everybody is offended about something. But you can call a Christian a dog and everyone else in the world will applaud. Why? Because that is the system that God has fought against from the beginning of time. That he says, I'm going to end. And don't fall into those categories, believers. Don't get caught up in multiculturalism and let your multiculturalism override your Christianity. Because multiculturalism isn't a part of the world that's going to be fighting against. Politically correctness is not what is going to be standing with God. Those that are politically correct won't be on white horses. Coming back with Jesus Christ is going to be on those who belong to him. This is the world system that we have fallen into and don't even know it because God says the great harlot is going to even rule the world. False religion has had more people killed and more governments established and more governments fallen and more people hurt and more people destroyed than anything else. It's false religion, that which is in substitute for God's true plan. The great harlot, the woman that rides on the beast. We're going to talk about the world political system a lot more when we get into chapter 18. But right now we're talking about the woman, the harlot. False religion. And it says, come with me. One of the seven angels said that had the bowls. He talked with me saying unto me, come here. I will show unto thee the judgments of the great harlot that sits upon many waters, where with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Isn't this amazing? God says false religion is going to be a major issue, but the false religion is going to bring in the great deception. What is the great deception, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. It is fornicating with false religion. What is the whole aspect of fornication? Fornication is sexual immorality. Sexual immorality. The other thing that comes along with sexual immorality is drunkenness. They are drunk with the fornication of the woman, the great harlot. That's why they call her a harlot, a whore. Deception, manipulation, and seduction. It's going to be false religion's greatest move to destroy the world. You tell me any family members that have been destroyed, any homes that have been destroyed, any lives that have been destroyed, is not based upon some type of sexual immorality and seduction and drunkenness, meaning allow something else to take over your life outside of the Holy Spirit. Talk to me, young people that are not married. Those are the only ones can commit fornication. Unmarried people. God has another name for those who do the same thing that are married. Have sex outside of marriage with someone that's not your mate, called adultery. That's why we don't like to use those words. Well, I cheated on my wife. Well, you what? I cheated on my wife. No, you committed adultery. I cheated on my husband. You know, it got difficult. No! You didn't cheat on your husband. You committed adultery. Sexual immorality. Drunkenness. Seduction. To be deceived. To be manipulated and disillusioned. Tell me that isn't false religion and the world way of destroying God's plan. It has been that way since the beginning of time. Eve saw that it looked good. That which was not hers. Don't touch that tree. Don't touch that woman. Don't touch that man. So the Catholic Church many years ago understood. See, that was lots of good teaching going on for years before the religion kept getting more diluted and more diluted and more diluted and more diluted until we are diluted today. And doing wrong and think we're doing right. We're so diluted today. But the Catholic Church understood it for years, and that's why they went overboard when it came to sex. They told their Catholic priests, you can't get married. They eliminated sex altogether in their leadership. Now, the Jews was a little bit smarter than that. They said they got rabbis, they're going to get rid of Ham. Now, if you notice, there's a shortage of Catholic priests, but not rabbis. Sex isn't the call for all evil. It's the misuse of sex outside of marriage. That's the problem. And false religion comes in and takes something that's good and try to manipulate you to try to make it bad. Then you end up not in the will of God and end up a false doctrine. This is the world system. This is what God has fought against, is fighting against, will be fighting against, and is going to destroy. Now, the biggest problem with most of us in our society today is sexual immorality, drunken sin. Not being able to keep ourselves pure before God. That is the system that destroys God's way. Nothing new. It started with Adam and Eve. And it's had thousands of years to develop itself. He says, with the kings of the earth have committed fornication and the inhabitants of the earth. Amen. Just look at the world kingdoms. Check history on what has made people fall. Rome, the final world dominating kingdom, the fourth one, fell under sexual immorality. It got so bad that it weakened itself and it couldn't even protect itself and it was dispersed. Look at what's happening to America. Things that we can see on TV, eventually, man, the next several months or years, you're going to need ID to watch TV. That which we used to think was extremely arrogant, very sinful and bad, don't bother us anymore. Why? Because of disillusionment. Because of the watering down of what is right. That false religious section is moving into our every home, our every life, our every way. The world is becoming right. God is becoming wrong. This is all the kings fell under her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. Check this out. It says, look where the woman is and where the beast is. She's going to ride on the beast in the wilderness. That's nothing luscious about this life. That's why we see, even in recommendations from the homosexual lifestyle, that there are more people dying out of that style because of the emptiness that follows with it. And you can pass laws and say it's okay, and you can say that it's a sickness, or you can say whatever you want to say. God says it's sin and it's wrong, and if you don't stand up against sin and wrong, it will infiltrate you and it will destroy you along with them. That is the system. That is the world. That is all those beliefs out there that you and I want to grasp with, and you and I want to have peace with, and you and I want to say there's some good in it somewhere. God says no. It is not. We just want peace with Islam. God says it is a false religion. They're okay, we're okay. God says no. This is the system of all false belief in religion. I'm going to destroy. And if I'm going to destroy, why, as believers, are you trying to hold on to it and say, it's okay? Look at this. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and bedecked with gold and precious stone, pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination, filthiness of her fornication. Let me tell you something. False religion is big business. Serious do-re-mi. And false religions. False religion will never, ever teach humility and a humble lifestyle. Many of our charismatic brothers can't be content. Their whole philosophy is, you trust God, you get more. You trust God, you get more. You believe, you receive. They can't have a contented life. It is a false teaching. I don't care what anyone hears me say. Send them to me. I say it face to face. You are teaching a false religion. Amen. Sounds good. Just isn't right. Oh, Pastor, you're such an isolationist. Hey, man, that was going through your mind. You are just so narrow-minded. Isolationist, can't believe you're saying the things you say. Take it up with God. I didn't write it. Praise be to God. Because I would have wrote some stuff in there for me. I'll keep the pastor healthy, wealthy, and wise. Bless him 2 or 3 times a day. Amen, brother. Don't bring him no little car. 500 SEL, yeah. Pay his house off. Well, just make it free. See, I would have put that in Second Opinions 3:3. I would have wrote that one. And then I would have wrote another book called The Book of Hesitation. Don't you be doing that when it comes to the pastor. Bless him. See, if it was up to me, I could write some good stuff. Everybody else is in the false religion category. I might as well jump in there too. I didn't ask God if I could write, and God didn't ask me to write. That's the system. And the world has gathered into her fornication. The world has got drunk in this big business stuff. See, the reason why we like this big business stuff, because that comes power. See, the whole plan is for God to have all power. And man is rebelled against God having all power and authority. So the world system gets along with the false god, the woman, the harlot, and says, we're going to come up with our own plan, God. We don't like yours. That's the whole system that God's saying he's going to get rid of.
Don't like what you're hearing. Not my fault. I just got to preach what's there.
Ooh, it's almost over. And I got two chapters. Look at this. I'm amazed, folks, that you can take something that's stinky and rotten and cover it with enough good stuff and people put up with the stinking and the rotten. That's what the harlot did. You can take a decaying body and fill it up with gold and pearls and diamonds and precious stones and cover it up. And there'll be someone to come along and to put up with that stink just to enjoy the gold and the pearls. And they would take a chance of catching a disease to get it out of there. That is the world. When it comes to the harlot, when it comes to false religions, I hope no one is guessing what I think about false religions. Hey. We're going to start a new religion, the rolling of the wheelchairs out the door. In the love of Jesus, of course. I can write a good religion now. Just give me the opportunity that I can come up with some good false stuff. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Listen to this. Don't get caught up that they're saying her name is Babylon the Great. She is the mystery behind Babylon the Great. Mystery is that which was not known but is being revealed. The reason why the world is the way the world is because of false religion. Do you understand that? The world isn't the way the world is because of just the world. The world is the way the world is because underneath the world's got to have a system to believe in. It cannot exist without a system. So false religion has come along to eliminate the world catching the real thing. So the world is underneath the mystery of the harlot, which is that which God says is wrong. And what's going to happen, as we see, is the world's going to use false religion as long as it's beneficial to it. Well, at the end of the tribulation period, we're going to find out that the world is going to say, everything's falling apart. Nothing is working. These bowls is kicking our natural. And they're going to say, we don't need religion anymore. Are you beginning to see in a small way what the plan is from the beginning of time? And last verse with 15. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. False religion has used the world, who is out for power, recognition, and authority, over and over and over again to persecute and kill. Not only itself in the realm of false religion, but to eliminate and kill those that are in real religion. And the difference today is that the world is getting so bold, it doesn't hide it anymore. Because the world is coming to the grips that it don't need religion. And religion is compromising so much just to keep a hand on the world. Well, God is saying, I've called you to be the preserving salt in society. And when you lose your saltiness, what use are you except to be thrown out and trodden on the ground? And God says in chapter 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation that his church has come so saltless that 5 out of 7 of them not doing the job to warn the world that he is coming to take care of a false religion and a world system called the politics of the secular society. That is Babylon. The political world leader, the beast, and the false religious leader, the false prophet, is what is being set up today in these two systems coming together in the tribulation period. And then in the middle of the tribulation period, when God starts pouring his bowls out, the world's going to say, we don't need religion anymore. And we're going to talk about what's going to happen to the religious world or the false world who's compromised just to have an influence. And their compromise is going to be their final demise. Is anybody flowing with the pastor? Oh, what a truth. Ade, are you here? Second service? Second. Ladies and gentlemen, 17 and 18 will prayerfully bring in the truth clearer to you than you've ever seen. And if you don't get anything else out of today, you get this. All other religions are wrong. They are part of the harlot, the mystery of why the world is the way it is, going against God's true plan to try to destroy God's ultimate aim, which God has said they will fail because I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And never again do I want anyone at Antioch Bible Church walking around saying towards other religions, you're okay and I'm okay. It is not biblically sound. And the only way we're going to have peace with any other religion outside of Jesus Christ is to make them believers in Jesus Christ. Then we can have brothers and sisters who is going to be in the next part of the scriptures that we're going to talk about. Victory! Woo! Victory! Oh, we are part of the victory! Oh, I may start singing, so I better stop. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. For you have the plan, and I'm going to stick with it. Amen.